We're looking into the Word of God. We've been doing that for a number of weeks, and we will do it for several more weeks. We have seen that the Word of God is important. We have seen the value of the Word of God, and then we saw last week the authority of the Word of God. This morning, I want to speak to you about the promises of God. I had a wonderful privilege this week of going back to Michigan, to my hometown, to say farewell to my sister who was moving to Texas. And so the brothers and my sister got together, and as always, when we get together, we start to tell stories. And we tell stories of growing up in our home, which was six kids, and they reminded me, we went to church in a Volkswagen. Eight people in a Volkswagen, and some of us were teenagers, so it was quite crowded. And I verified that with my sister. I said, do you mean all of us? I was thinking you were not there. And she says, no, I was there. All eight people crammed into a Volkswagen going to church. And I'm so glad for a mother and father that made us go to church, because we wouldn't have if they gave us a choice. We would have chosen to stay home and do something more profitable. And I thank God for a mother that loved the Word of God and taught us the things of the Lord. While we were sitting around laughing and sharing stories, one of my relatives said, isn't it amazing how much your mother poured into all of you? He says, it's like the Word of God oozes out of you. And then we went and visited my aunt, who is my mother's sister, and shared with her. And she started sharing about her upbringing and told of my grandmother and how she came to Christ. And then how grandmother led Marilyn to Christ. And then my mom came to Christ. And the story goes on and on. And then we've led our children to the Lord, and they continue to follow the Lord. All of that is part of this idea of the promises of God. I want to read several portions of Scripture this morning, but I want to highlight one because it emphasizes that truth of godly mothers and what the Lord has given to us in godly mothers. It was Timothy, that Paul was speaking to Timothy, a young pastor, and he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that means the sincere or genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is also in you. He spoke to Timothy about the faith that was given to him, not by his parents, but certainly he was influenced. But that faith was what God generated in him through the Word of God. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. I would like everybody to turn and look at the clock so you get that out of the way. We did have a longer service, and I will try not to keep you very long, but I want to highlight a few things that God has for us this morning. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and Peter is emphasizing the Word of God and the promises of God. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are righteous, those through the righteousness of God, our Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be to you in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, that by these you might be participants in the nature of God and escape the corruption that is in the world through evil desires. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God and its power to save and to transform and to give faith. We thank you that it's living and it's active and it is powerful. And so as we open the Word this morning, Lord, we ask that your Word would be powerful to us, that we might receive it and that we might plant it in our hearts and it would bring forth fruit. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. There are three things I want to point out from this passage where the Apostle Peter is talking about the promises of God. The promises of God. First of all, he talks about the precious faith that they received. He's referring to the faith that comes through hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, that they responded to the Word of God, that God gave him that faith. So first of all, our first faith is saving faith. And when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we recognize that we're sinners, and when we believe that He died on the cross for our sins, and we receive Him as our Savior, not just accept Him, not just acknowledge Him, but we receive Him, invite Him to come into our life and be our Savior. He becomes our Savior. We become His children. And as His children, we have all the inheritances of the children of God. Every promise in the book of God, every promise in the Word of God becomes ours because we are God's children. That's an important principle. And Peter is explaining that to the people of God, that they have been given this precious faith because they heard the Word of God and they responded to it. And then he says, you've received the divine power for everything you need in this life and godliness. That is, every believer, every child of God, every person that knows Jesus Christ as Savior has received power from God to live a Christian life. And this is supernatural power. That's point number two. Boy, I'm going fast. Point number three is this. You have received the exceeding great and precious promises of God, that by these you might be partakers of God's power. The word in King James says that you might be partakers of His divine nature. That word nature means His power, His glory, His miraculous power. And so Peter is telling us that by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are saved, God gives us His divine power. That is, He accompanies us. He lives in us. And then He has given us the Word of God, precious promises that by these we might experience the power of God. There are three kinds of faith that we need to exercise. First of all is saving faith. I just spoke of that. Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you put your total trust in Him? Have you bet your life on Him? Have you invited Him to come into your life to be your Savior? And are you following Him? Jesus wants every person to come to that knowledge of saving faith. The second one is doctrinal faith. We just did that with the Apostles' Creed. To believe the doctrines of the Bible, to believe God's Word is the absolute truth. The old Presbyterian mantra says that we have no authority except the Word of God. No rule of our faith and practice except the Word of God. That is what we believe. All things that are written here are written by God for our learning. And finally, the third faith is that experiential faith of not just believing with our minds, believing with our hearts, but actually entrusting the promises of God, putting it into effect. That is called the exceeding precious promises put into experience. That is, God has given us promises in the Word of God that have to be actuated. These promises sit in this Bible. I want you to look at my Bible. It's a big book. 66 books in the Bible. Mine has like 1,785 pages. It's larger than War and Peace, which is probably the biggest book you ever read or ever didn't want to read. This book is filled with passages that will make your eyes go blurry. I was talking to a young man recently, and he says, boy, the Bible is a big book, and it's hard to get through because you got all those genealogies in there. And I said, but even in the genealogies, God has little treasure troves. God has little treasures for us. If you read it carefully, remember the prayer of Jabez. That's right in the middle of a genealogy where God highlights this one person and says, look at what he did, and you can have that same experience. All through this Bible, God has hidden treasures. He had hidden gems. They're called the promises of God, and they were actually actuated when you find the treasure and hold it in your hand and claim it to God and believe the promises, you will experience the power of God. God has given us provisions for a miraculous life. Do you live a miraculous life? I don't mean do you perform miracles. I mean, does God perform miracles for you? He has promised to do so in His Word. He has affirmed it over and over, and He's given you these exceeding great and precious promises. Not just promises, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you can experience God in real life. You can have that experience of knowing the Lord. I have a little book in my office, and Marilyn knows that when we moved to Colorado, I really got fanatical about Colorado's lost gold mines. These are amazing stories. I just sit there and read them over and over. All of these, there's probably, there's about 20 stories of people that had great treasures, buried them, and then they died or they lost the treasure, and it's still out there. And a lot of these stories give you directions. And I read that and I go, oh my goodness, Marilyn, let's go because I can find those treasures. Imagine that. This guy found treasures of gold, a cave filled with gold. He brought some of it out, but in the meantime, he got sick and he died before he told anybody where it was. But we have the general directions. I can find it. I know I can.
Do you think you can find treasures? I was reading this week of somebody that was about to sell their house, but for 100 years there were rumors about that house that there was a great treasure stored in it. And the family said, before we get rid of this house, let's make sure we find the treasure. They hired a guy with that thing that finds metal, the metal detector. And he goes into the attic, and he goes over the attic with a fine-tooth comb, every nook and every cranny. And he comes to one special board, and it goes, beep, 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 beep. He says, here. They dug up the board, and there was a treasure box full of $100,000 or more dollars that were saved in somebody's house. Isn't that exciting? I think you ought to go up to your attic today and look for a treasure. Who knows where those treasures are stored? But in the Word of God, there are treasures that are more enormous than that. God is giving you everything that you need for life and godliness. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. This Bible is filled with promises that are for you. If you're a child of God, if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, this is your inheritance. God says, I want you to go through here and discover the promises. Now, God could have put them all together in one book called Promises, but He didn't. He wanted you to search the Scriptures. He wanted you to read the Bible. He wanted you to read the stories of the heroes of faith. And He wanted you to discover those nuggets of treasure that God has stored there for you and for me. And so it's necessary that we get into the Word of God and discover the promises of God. I want to challenge you this morning. On the back table, I have this little booklet. I've spent a lot of time going over the promises of God over the last few years, and I've compiled it into 365 promises of God. There are 20 pages of promises. They're laid out in memory card format, so they're easy to find. And there are 365 of them, 5 on the front page and 360 on all the other pages. This is an amazing find. Folks, I have done the mining for you. I have panned for the gold, and now I'm delivering it to you. This is a treasure that God has given to every child of God. You are unusual because nobody else in the world gets this but you. Nobody else has the 365 put together like this. Oh, I go on the internet, I find, 16 promises in the Word of God, 160 promises in the Word of God. Now, here are 365 promises of God that Pastor Dick LaFountain found in the Word of God, and God wants you to claim every one as your treasure from heaven. And by those promises, when you claim them, you receive from the Lord His power. You will see His might. You will see miracles happen because of the Word of God and your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that His Word is true. Now, I want to challenge you, because it's one thing just to talk to you, and I have to watch over here. Because Dave's over here, he said he was up real late last night at a square dance that he was playing for, and he's sleepy. So if you see him going to sleep, let me know, and I'm going to go over there and use him as an illustration. Here's what I want you to do. 365 promises is a lot of promises. And I know I'm going to give this out to you, and a lot of you are going to go home, either you're going to forget to pick it up, or you're going to pick it up and take it home and lay it on a shelf somewhere. You're going to do nothing with it. So I want to give you a treasure at the end of this. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your Bible, whatever Bible you have, but it has to be yours, has to have your name in it. It's your Bible. And I want you to take these promises. There's 20 pages, 18 promises per page, all of them topically named, what they're all about. And I want you to transfer them from this page into your Bible. That is, I want you to take the verse, wherever you find it, and I want you to put a square around the verse. Can you do that? Take a pen. Don't use a pencil. It will fade away. Put a box around it. That's the promise of God. Then I want you to take a yellow marker. I thought I had one up here. A yellow marker. And I want you to mark it in yellow. And I want you to go through and do that with all the promises. That's 365 promises. And you go, oh, Pastor, that's going to take so long. No, it's not. It's only going to take you 3 weeks. 18 promises a day. You could go through. And here's what I'm going to tell you. I want you to do this. I'm challenging you to do this. And for the first 3 people that do it, actually go through, box in the promises in your Bible and mark them in yellow. You bring it to me and show it to me, and I'm going to give you one of my wonderful walking sticks. All right? The first 3 people. Here's what the conditions are. One goes to a woman. The first woman to get it done gets a walking stick, and you get to choose which one you want. The second one is to a man. Ha, ha, ha. You cannot allow your wife to do it, Dave. You have to do it in your Bible. And you can't team up either. You have to do it yourself. Why? Because it's important that you see the promises and that you read the promises and you emphasize the promise. And that's important because after you're all done, your Bible is going to be all marked up with these yellow boxes that are promises of God. And your children and your children's children are going to see that, and they're going to be reminded of the promises of God. So there's a woman that's going to get a walking stick. There's a man that does it that's going to get a walking stick. And there's a youth that's going to get a walking stick. Now, I would offer it to children, but I know you're going to cheat and your parents are going to do it for you. So if you're a young person and you're able to read and write a box of the scriptures in, you can do this as well. Finally, somebody says, I don't want your stinking walking sticks. Folks, these are not stinking walking sticks. These are craftily created, one of a kind walking sticks that I've made for many years. I sell them online for $60 to $80 each. And I'm willing to give it to you because you are diligent to find the promises of God and put it in your Bible. Now, get on a stick, start today. I'm going to be having the Strawberry Festival and a display of my sticks, and I'll probably sell out the Strawberry Festival. So I'm going to give you a deadline. By the first, the last Sunday of May, I would like to hear from whomever is wanting this walking stick. Because by the 6th of June, I think it is, all of my walking sticks are going to be gone. Okay? And if you don't want a walking stick, here's what I'm offering to you. If you complete that task, and you are the first one to do so, man, woman, or youth, I will offer you as an alternative to the walking stick a brand new study Bible. Brand new study Bible. You're thinking about that and you go, wait a minute. But I just spent all my time writing my old Bible and you're going to give me a new Bible and I have to do it all over again. That's the idea. That's the idea. Because I know that the promises of God are going to stir your heart up. You're going to see that God's word is true and every word is faithful. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. His promises are yes and amen. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, all the promise of God in him are yes and amen in him. And that means every promise in the book is mine. Now, I put some things on Facebook. I put a song on there today, and I wish I could play it for you, but it's a little too jazzy for most of you. It's called All God's Promises Won't Let Go of Me. How many of you know that song? All God's promises won't let go of me. Oh boy, get excited. I put that on Facebook so you can experience that. But it's a cheerful song talking about all God's promises. Once you get them into you, once you digest them, once you start looking at them, your heart's going to be stirred. It's going to burn within you and you're going to say, I want to trust God for that promise. I want to believe God for that. And all God's promises will never let you go. It'll be instilled in your heart and God will continue to burn in your heart and you'll be able to ask God for great and mighty things and he will do it. Now let me close this message. Now everybody look at the clock. It's 12:05. I'm doing really great. Aren't we doing great? Dave's going to say yeah because he wants to go home and take a nap. Here's the three things I want you to do to activate the promise of God. 365 of them. Here's how you do it. Number one, you tell God, here's my problem. Here's my problem. And you point the problem to God. And then you say, Lord, here's my prayer. This is what I want you to do. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So spell it out. Be very specific. This is what I want you to do. Here's my problem. Here's my prayer. And finally, here's the promise. Go to God with the promise of God. Don't just go to God begging for stuff. You're not a beggar. You're a child of God. You're an inheritor of the promises. So go to God with the promise for whatever you need. And then read it back to God. Read God the promise. So you tell him the problem. You offer the prayer, what you want him to do. And then you claim the promise. You lay it before God. God, I am claiming your promise. I didn't make this up. You said you would do it. Now I name it, I claim it, and I cling to it. If you do that, God says he will fulfill his word. Yes, you have to wait for it. Yes, you have to be patient for God to work. But if you trust the Lord and watch what he does, God will do exciting things. And Peter has said it to us. It's your precious faith, the divine power that's given to you, and the exceeding great precious promises. God says you can be partakers of God's divine power. You will see God do great and mighty things. You see, the problem is most of us live our Christian lives as though we're paupers. We live as though we have no inheritance. We live as though God never made any promises to us. I call them bootstrap Christians. We pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We've got our banks and our brain and our brawn, and we do everything by self-effort. And God says, I don't want you to live that way. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God says, I want you to trust me. I want you to see that I am alive and I am well and I hear and I answer prayer. But you need to find the promise and lay hold of the promise and watch God fulfill his word in your life. God is faithful. He longs to bless. He delights to answer prayer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word will not fail. His word is alive. His word is powerful. It's time for every believer to lay hold of the promises of God and claim our inheritance in him. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promises of God. I'm excited about these. Lord, I'm going to go through and mark them in my Bible because I need to. So often forget the promises, and we don't want them tucked away in a booklet somewhere. We want them right there in the Word where we can find them. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that. Help those that are here that heard the Word and are stirred in their hearts to know God in a more intimate way and to experience your power and your blessing and your answers to prayer, that they would lay hold of the promise of God